Let me tell you how Malcolm and I are going to organize this two-man performance for you. What I plan to do initially is to give you a bit of an introduction to the processes we've been through and how how we divided the task of trying to produce a five-year plan amongst a number of players. When I have done that, I will transfer the table to Malcolm to talk about the outcomes of the groups that that worked on the project, and then I will attempt to come back and bring that all together with some description for you of what we have termed the project of national significance. So that's how we'll play it, and I will then just give you an introduction to how we got to what we have. First of all, the Space Council was formed administratively in 1993. That occurred as a result of a paper that was presented to the then minister responsible, namely John Button, by an expert committee which included a person who'd been a chief executive in the European Space Agency and a number of prominent people who had knowledge of the industry in Australia. That expert committee recommended to the Commonwealth Government the establishment of a body to replace the old Space Board, and that this body was to have a degree of independence that the Board had not had, should have been constituted by the major stakeholders in both the public and private sectors and certain independent people, and that it should be advisory to the government with more direct access to the minister, and that it should create some form of independence for the Space Office outside the structure of what was then DITAR. Most of that occurred, in fact. We finished up as not an independent statutory authority, but it's one of these miraculous inventions of modern-day public activity, which provides me with direct access to the minister, and access to the secretary that goes around Malcolm as head of the office, and at the same time, Malcolm and the office are in a position of serving the needs of the council. As with all of these arrangements, they depend upon the nature of the individuals involved and their dedication to the task and their capacity to be tolerant. And I would like to say that in my period as chairman, I have enjoyed tremendous relationships with the minister involved, the head of the department, and the head of the office. And I think within the restrictions of the framework, it works admirably. The Act was eventually passed and came into effect on the 1st of July, and the present minister, namely Chris Schott, approved of the membership that John Button had put in place. And the Act determines the responsibilities, but basically to advise government on Australia's role in space and to recommend a national space program, to formulate and update a rolling five-year strategic plan, to coordinate and seek collaboration of the stakeholders in the National Space Program, and to oversee the implementation and reports on the outcome of the NSP. Let me say that I view this meeting today as the first meeting in the review of the five-year plan. We don't believe that we've had any divine input into the production of this five-year plan. We believe that we have produced something which is our best attempt at this stage. We believe that there are certain objectives that we aim to try and accomplish in the first 12 months, and that the outcomes of those activities will certainly determine the revision of the five-year plan in the next year. But in addition to that, we believe that knowledgeable stakeholders will suggest there are things that we haven't thought about, haven't emphasized, and should emphasize. And we can only get better at this process as a council, provided that we get direct input from the stakeholders in the industry around Australia. And so let me challenge you people to make sure that your inputs come to us. Like any body established, like the Space Council, it is only as good as the inputs that it gets from the industry that it represents nationally. And it is not useful for people to simply criticize the outcomes of the Space Council if they're not prepared to make inputs that we get to. The membership of the Council is, as you probably expect, an assembly, if you like, of self-interests. Now, as the only person without interests, if you like, except the industry as a whole, I guess that my position perhaps is shared by a couple of others. I believe that in a country as large as Australia, with a professional body as small as we have, that if you were to attempt to assemble a council that was not a council of people with interests in the area, then you would probably have a council without knowledge. And I think it's probably sufficient that the chairman has no knowledge, and that if we're going to extend that view of independence too far down the line, then it would be a non-functional council. Simply let me say that from the beginning we've established the view that the Commonwealth departments that are listed there by the acronyms and the private sector people and the academic people have been absolutely meticulous in respect to declaring their interest in matters before the council, and also that in the case of this five-year plan, each of the representatives of those departments have declared a unanimous support for this, for the plan that we've produced, and their willingness to support the plan within the organization that they are perceived to represent. Notice that in addition to those members there, the executive director, namely Malcolm, is a member of that council. In accordance with the principles of good planning, the planning of the Space Council has been underpinned by a mission, and the mission is to secure for Australia net benefits from the development and use of space-related science, technology and industry, and the objectives are there: to secure cost-effective space goods and services for the public good, to develop space-related industry based on comparative advantage, to support government's international policy objectives through space activities, to foster space-related research in Australia, and to develop an appreciation of, by policymakers and the public of the important role of space in our everyday lives. Just let me say a little bit about that last one, because it is an objective that really wasn't covered by any of our subgroups that worked. And we attempted to emphasize this in our briefing to the media at lunchtime today. There is no realization in Australia that the space industry exists. It happens to be an industry with a turnover perhaps of $700 million a year. It's a dispersion of activities, which Malcolm will refer to. But we recognize a very large responsibility to create a greater knowledge of Australia's space industry so that that knowledge is transmitted into the body politic. We have a dilemma in that the space industry is not perceived to exist, that suggestions that activity for Australia in space are really simply figments of people's science fiction imaginations, and we must do something about that. And part of the process of this trip around Australia is not only to inform people such as yourself who are aware of the existence of a space industry in this country, but also to make sure those who represent the industry as journalists in the public face are properly across the activity that goes on and its potential for Australia. Let me say also that in doing this, the support of the Minister has been absolutely critical. People ask us often in these forums whether we have the support of government. Whether or not we have the support of government will emerge during the period between now and the next budget session. But many councils, such as our own, report to ministers and find their reports put in the bottom drawer and not, in fact, given the sort of ride that our minister has suggested this one should have. Chris Schott has endorsed the report as it is in front of you and continues to support it, and quite obviously is going to continue to support it with his colleagues. I don't believe that the space industry in this country has ever had that type of ministerial support before. And I think that's a reasonable statement. And let me say also that that Malcolm's personal efforts within the bureaucracy in Canberra is bearing fruit that perhaps we haven't been able to access before. The first five-year plan emerged from first of all an interim report to the Ministry in May 1993, and as I recall, looking around the room, a number of you were part of meetings we had at that time, and it was involved four working parties, one in space communications, one in Earth observation, one in space science, and one in launch services. And the reports of those independent working parties form part of the five-year plan as it's submitted to you today. And it was, in fact, provided to the Minister on the 13th of May and released by him publicly on the 14th of July. And these visits that you now see occurring are part of the general distribution of that information. Let me say that the groups who worked on those areas have put an enormous amount of work in, and that the Space Council could not have worked without those groups, and those names are all recorded in the five-year plan, and I would like here to publicly express our gratitude to those people, some of whom I'm sure are in this room today. Now, at that stage, I would simply pass this matter through to Malcolm and let him describe the outputs that came from the operations of those four committees. Thanks, Malcolm.